Hey, welcome back to a very special edition of Hot Hardware's Two and a Half Geeks, except we're only two geeks today, just two. Me and my buddy Marco, and we got some special hardware. Oh, we got black screens. There it is. There he is. Now we're two in a box. Two geeks, mostly geek, anyways, for me. Hey, we got some cool hardware to show off today. Today was the official launch and unveiling of NVIDIA's GeForce RTX 2080 and 2080 Ti graphics cards and the Turing architecture. Wasn't necessarily the official launch, but NVIDIA allowed us to disclose a lot more detail about the architecture, and the NDA is lifted on that. And soon the NDA will be lifted on benchmarks, but we can't talk about that today. However, if you're in the chat, please fire your questions off as we unbox some beautiful new NVIDIA Turing-based hardware, right, Marco?
Yes, it really is beautiful. So there's already a couple of questions in the chat. Rob, Tomb Raider, the patch is coming post-launch. I think the game launches today, the patch for RTX. I'm not sure if it's going to be this year or next year. I don't have exact timing, but there is a patch coming. And I'm not sure on BF5, but I believe, like, right now the beta does not support it. So that will probably be coming later as well. And Most Wanted says, please make this a performance review. We can't do that yet. Performance is under embargo for a few more days, but come by the site. I'm actually doing a ton of testing. I'm doing GPU compute stuff, a bunch of games, including some new titles, VR tests, synthetics like 3D Mark, power, overclocking. I'm even going to do some HDR testing. So we'll try to have a whole bunch, and I'm retesting everything from the GTX 2070 on up to Titan XP, plus a brand new Vega 64 card and the Turing card. So I should have a really broad scope of data. It's going to take me many hours to generate it all, but you know, you guys are worth it. So,
yeah, awesome. Awesome. And I'm actually going to be doing a little bit of work with it on video here for our YouTube audience as well. So we will be firing up the cards on screen and showing them in benchmarks as well when we are able to, when that NDA is lifted for performance. So today, unfortunately, can't talk performance, but Marco's got presents and we're going to unbox them.
Yeah. Do you guys want it? So if you guys in the chat are active, do you want to start with an OEM card, or should we open up the actual NVIDIA Founders Edition cards first? I'll give you 5 seconds to answer, and then I'm just going to make the choice for you.
Yeah, the chat is not that quick. Wait a minute. Oh, Rob says
OEMs. Rob wins. All right, Rob, let's get wins. I literally just got it. I have not even cut the tape, so this thing could be smashed in here. We'll find out right now. Dave, why don't you keep everybody entertained while I fumble around with the sharp blade?
Yeah, careful. Don't no injuries on camera here. No bloodletting going on.
Yeah. Yes. Am I too far from my microphone? Is it okay? Can you guys hear me from this far away?
Your mic is fine. If you could get a little bit more of the box in the frame at any given time, that's fine too. But yeah, I know you're working.
I'll try. It's cut open. This is the this is the EVGA GeForce RTX 2080 XC Ultra. I don't have the boost clocks kind of in memory yet. It is a factory overclocked card. That's the it's not a 2080 Ti. It's a 2080, but let me get this guy open here. Hold on a second. Rob changed his mind. Rob changed his mind right away, but sorry, too late now. We already started this box.
He said Founders afterwards, but then he was outvoted again by OEM with Canuck 699.
All right. So that's what it looks like when you lift the lid. Let's see what's in here.
Let me give you some Angel God music. Oh, no, it's bad. I'm sorry. That was kind of like the right pitch, but
let's see what's in here. Hold on 1 second. This is what?
Yeah. Okay.
I'm assuming it's just a power adapter.
Oh, and, you know, love that crunchy sound.
I'm gonna open it while my dog eats the silica gel packet that fell. HDMI to DVI adapter, because you know, yeah, people are still using DVI with brand new $1,000 graphics card. Let's see here.
Rob says 2080, the filthy casual version of the 2080 Ti.
Yeah, this is a piece of crap. Who's gonna want a 2080? I'd have shoot garbage. All right, just kidding.
That was hilarious. Right,
here it is. Let's get this thing out. All right. Anything else in there? Just a bunch of foam.
Oh, that crunchy sound of anti-static packaging.
slow or fast?
Oh, tease it. Shake it.
Oh, okay. Here it is. Here is the EVGA bad boy right there. Two fans, 2.75 slots wide. Not quite three slots, but, you know, effectively, it's a triple slot cooler on this bad boy.
Yeah.
Wait. I know you guys want this. Hold on.
Yeah, you get that. Oh, yeah.
All right, that's the back. Let's see what's happening on the front
protective,
here.
Protective coating being removed, yes.
Yeah, it actually, the look of the shroud is going to change significantly without this stuff on it. Hold on.
Yeah, you had a ton of glare there from the protective plastic and stuff.
This one is kind of just the clear smoke gray. Now, I know EVGA is going to be offering color kits where you can change the color of the shroud on here. Let's take a look what's happening up front.
It's RGB lit too, right?
Yes, absolutely.
I believe it is. Yeah.
Yeah. So let's get all these protective covers off because we know everybody's going to want to look at the connector.
You just yanked the NVLink connector right off without even teasing that.
Yeah. But it wasn't as nice as the Founders Edition cards. It's just,
oh, it's true. Oh, okay. Fair enough. Yeah.
Most Wanted likes it slow too. All right, so let's see. So this is actually one of the new things on art. Let me see if I can get this in focus here. Yeah, that is.
There you
is
go.
That kind of close to being in focus.
Yeah, it's pretty good. That's pretty good. Yep.
So that's the new NVLink connector replacing the SLI connectors. This guy, just like the reference cards, two power connectors here, an 8-pin and a 6-pin. There is your PCI Express connector. Nothing different there. So, yeah, there's some stuff to talk about on the front. You could see not vented like, you know, previous gen cards.
Just a touch. Just
radio fans. Let me come back a
little
bit.
There you go. Yeah.
So, triple DisplayPort 1.4A, single HDMI. And you'll notice the what looks like, it is a USB-C connector. That is the virtual link plug. That guy is going to be, it's a proprietary plug for, you know, future VR technologies. You can power the headset right from a single cable. This thing can supply, I believe it's up to 35 watts, or maybe it's up to 27 watts, but it adds 35 watts to the TDP or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So two fans on this guy, you know, like the NVIDIA cards.
Dual axial, yeah. Doesn't the nice. TI have a triple setup?
Nope.
If I'm not mistaken,
there are some triple fan OEM cards.
Yeah,
not all of them,
but
there are a few. They might, just not this particular series. So the back plate is really rigid on here. It's actually kind of thick. That's like an eighth of an inch. No, I don't know. It's thick. It's a couple of millimeters thick. Really, really heavy duty, hardcore. It's going in the test rig probably tonight as soon as we're done with this stream here.
Do they talk about core and boost clocks on that bad boy, or have you looked at them
yet? If you give me 2 seconds, I should have a note. I just don't have it in front of me. I will tell you in a moment.
I don't want to throw you off there.
No, I got it right here. All right. So this particular one, does it have clocks listed? It does not have clocks listed. Hold on. All right, here we go. All right, so boost clock 1815 megahertz, 1.815 gigahertz on this guy. So what is that versus the reference card? I don't have the numbers handy.
I'll get that for you. That's right. That's up nicely, actually. So that's a 2080.
2080.
Yeah, that's up nicely. So reference card is 1515 and 1515 on boost.
No, that's
on I'm sorry. 17, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. My bad. So 1800 on base megahertz.
No,
excuse me. Boost, 15, boost, 15, boost, yeah. Boost. Right, 1800, 1515 on the base. Yep.
Cool. All right.
So what did
we do?
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say I'll open up one of the other ones, but I'll let you. What you were going to ask something?
Well, I was going to ask, but what was the boost in the EVGA again? Relatively speaking,
1815.
Okay,
so get a little higher
kicker there. Yeah.
Yep.
Gotcha.
Should we see what's in here?
Do it. Why not? That's another 2080. That's the Founders Edition.
This is the Founders Edition 2080. Hold on. Come on. Oop, this guy has obviously been opened before because we have a tag on the back. Hold on. Let's see what else is in here. We got another little box hiding down here. I assume it's another some sort of adapters. What's NVIDIA giving away here?
Yeah.
We have another DVI. This one is it HDMI or DisplayPort? This one's DisplayPort to DVI DisplayPort. Included.
Yeah, to DVI. DVI-D, yep.
And a couple of, there's a support guide and a quick start guide.
Serious literature.
Yeah, we got some actual documentation here. And let's go to the sexy beast. Hold on. Here she comes.
Oh, it's got a little, it's got a little ID tag.
Yeah, this is this came direct from NVIDIA, so it actually just has the model number. There's no handwritten notes or anything on it.
Got a little doggy tag.
Am I going to rip this? Hold on a second.
No, that's adhesive. You can pop it apart. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Hold on. So Not Sure is asking, when I install it in the test rig, what will I do first? First, I'm going to make sure it's idling properly and I get a good idle power number. And then I'm going to start running Luxmark on it and then jump through the GPU compute test, then through the game test, then through the synthetic test. Then I have to overclock it. So it's before I get to actually game on it, it'll have been burned in for a few hours before it has any actual fun.
So you actually tease yourself. You start with the real geeky GPU compute stuff that isn't gaming, and then you get to the gaming benchmarks to see what it can do. You actually you're restrained in your test methodology.
Yes. Well, I'm married, so you have to, quell your expectations for fun. But yeah, so there she is.
Exercise restraint.
That's it. There is the, am I holding that up? Okay. That's the 2080 Founders Edition. Now I really love what NVIDIA did with these cards. So it's nice brushed metal and plastic all around, but the metal and the plastic finishes look the same. So it looks really good. You have this really cool textured back. It looks great in person, I think. Dave, you've seen them. They look good, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, here's mine. I am showing off. I think they do look good. I unboxed mine already. I was definitely I was too much of a kid in a candy store to hold off. But I think when you look at these cards, they're just made really well. The aluminum on them is really heavy gauge. The heat sink underneath it covers the entire face of the PCB. Super dense fin array on the heatsink. It just exudes quality the way it's built. Really nice tight fit and finishes and tolerances, right?
Yeah, like you'll see. Let me see if I can get this. It's probably not going to come across with my lighting, but you actually can't see the PCB underneath the heatsink. It's just covered. The entire front is just covered up. The entire front of the PCB covered up. Yeah. So, dual 13 blade axial fans here, heat plate front, heat plate back, same outputs as the EVGA card, but just a different plate here.
Two slot.
Yeah. This guy's the NVIDIA cards are only two slot, and they do this really nice thing with the NVLink connector. It's actually completely hidden with the cover on. But
should we tell them, when I saw that cover on mine, I was like, I don't think this card has an NVLink connector, man. There's something weird going on. Then I was like, oh wait, what's this? I mean, it's really well trimmed up is my point. It's like, you can't really, it looks good.
Very good looking card. And we have another question. What's the best way to clean drool off a keyboard? Use one of the tissues you have off to the side over there. Andre's asking how the 2070 is. We don't have the 2070 yet. That's not coming until October. The 2070 is launching after these cards. So all three of them, the 2080 Ti, the 2080, and the 2070, it's actually three different pieces of silicon power in the cards. It's the TU102, 104, and 106. So they are different GPUs. So staggered release. 2080 and 2080 Ti coming first, 2070 is coming a little later, but it looks very similar. It's just a little shorter. The 2070 is I believe an inch or an inch and a half shorter, but the design language is exactly the same. Looks just like this, just smaller.
Yeah, I will drop a link to our full architecture deep dive, Turing architecture deep dive, which goes through all of the individual specs for the cars. I just dropped that into the chat. Thanks, John. There's the review now. So if you scroll down the page, you'll see an eye chart. You won't be able to see it on video here very well, but we step through each and every spec detail in that table below and compare it versus Pascal 10 series cards, previous generation cards, and all the speeds and feeds, all the core counts. And yeah, that's what's interesting about these cards, Marco, right, is that from the 2070 to the 2080 to the 2080 Ti, you've got actual physical cut downs of the GPU. They didn't use the same GPU. You have GP102 and the high end 2080, excuse me, Ti, and the high end is the GPU102. The 2080 is GPU104, and the 2070 is TPU or TU106. Excuse me. TU106, 104, and 102 on the high end. And yeah, you can see all the speeds and feeds there. Actually, John, good job zooming in on that. But has fewer CUDA cores all the way down to the 2070, fewer tensor cores for things like inferencing for DLSS anti-aliasing, and fewer ray tracing cores depending on the configuration. But again, the big daddy, the 2080 Ti, has an almost full fat Turing GPU config, but not quite, right? The Quadro RTX Marco 6000 has a few more CUDA cores and whatnot.
Right, the Quadro RTX 6000 is a fully enabled TU102 GPU. The 2080 Ti does have a bunch of stuff disabled. I have it listed out in that architecture article exactly what's disabled, but you know, there's basically fewer CUDA cores, fewer RT cores, fewer tensor cores, fewer texture units, fewer ROPs. There's one memory channel disabled, so it's not the full 384-bit memory interface. If NVIDIA wanted to do a 2085 Ti or a Titan based on Turing, they have some room there because they can do a fully enabled GPU, tweak the clocks a little bit, and boom, there's a speed boost right there. But obviously, we can't talk performance yet, but it's likely that nothing's going to come close to the 2080 Ti at this point in time with current games, and then you have all that cool new future tech to play with. So NVIDIA is probably not motivated to do anything faster yet, but they could if they wanted to. So,
yeah.
What do you think this thing weighs? Do you think this is like 4.5 pounds? This thing is heavy. This is heavier than the EVGA card.
Yeah, I'd say I'm getting not quite a brick. A brick is 5 pounds. I'm thinking 4. Yeah.
Yeah, it's up there. Guys, should I wear them like this?
Yeah, it makes some cool dangling earrings. Yeah. My really cool badass ears, one of the two.
Should we do the 2080 Ti?
Well, let's open the 2080 Ti. Yeah, absolutely.
I'm so glad I have Ti. So much room on this desk. It's not messy at all. Let's see.
Yeah.
All right. I have to cut the box open, so you have to entertain everybody. I'm
okay.
I haven't opened it yet. It's completely sealed.
Cool. So if you're not familiar with hothardware.com, swing on by the site. I just linked up our full Turing architecture deep dive in the chat and the comments. Marco is our core GPU and CPU computing guy, core PC component testing guy. He's also the managing editor at Hot Hardware. So he gets to play with all these cool toys first among the team. Look at him. He's giddy. He's, oh God, now he's getting downright goofy. Oh, Jesus. Wow.
There it is. Wow. 2080 Ti Downloads Edition. Well. So it looks like the same exact bundle. I'm not going to pull out the small box here. I'm just going to get the card out of here. No yeah. Cool tag on this one.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Interesting. My 2080 had a tag on it too, but my Ti did not. So that's interesting.
Oh, see, but my Ti has, see, my 2080 didn't have this sexiness happening. Yeah, but
It's almost like they did a little quick testing on the 2080 before they shipped it to us, right?
Yeah. So yeah, actually, all the stickers were going on my 2080. I got these guys here too.
Me too. These are
the Ti was kind of a little bit more fresh as a daisy.
So I would love to show you something exciting, but it's going to look exactly the same except for the branding difference. The externally, like we mentioned, different GPUs, different physical pieces of silicon on the cards, but externally, except for the power connectors. So 2080 Ti two power connectors, but they're both 8-pin instead of an 8-pin and a 6-pin.
Yeah.
So that's externally, that's the only difference between the cards.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what's interesting too? If you look at the die sizes, the 2080 Ti, RTX 2080 Ti die size is 754 square millimeters. When you drop down to the 2080, it drops down to all the way down to 545 square millimeters for a 2080. Yep. So it's a dramatically smaller GPU, 200-ish square millimeters smaller,
which is still significant. Big,
no, it's honking. Yeah.
Yeah. When you it's a big boy.
Compared to the 1080, the GTX 1080 before it, 314 square millimeters in die size. So it's a full 200 plus square millimeters larger on a 2080 versus a 1080.
Huh. Yeah, and like the 1080 Ti, you know, the GP102, the Pascal chip, even though it's manufactured at 16 nanometers, so, you know, an older, larger process, that guy's 471 square millimeters, 754 square millimeters on the big boy. Now, you know, and there's lots of, I'm not going to say confusion, there's debate on what should be compared here, because in terms of pricing, the Turing cards are way more expensive. So comparing, say, a 2080 versus a 1080, it's not exactly apples to apples. The branding suggests that that's where it's fitting in the stack, but the pricing, there's a big price disparity. Same with the TIs, same with the 2070. But, you know, you have core counts for CUDA cores that are similar, but all the new cores in the Turing GPU. So there's going to be a lot that has to shake out with these cards, you know, to kind of figure out where everything fits and how it all comes into play. And then we have to see where pricing lands in a couple of months. You know, right now NVIDIA can do basically whatever they want. So when you
look at the CUDA core count, again, you know, going back to our architecture deep dive, if you guys want to check this out, it's all spelled out there. But when you look at the CUDA core count, just raw CUDA cores, 4,352 in a 2080 Ti, which is significantly more than a 2080, an RTX 2080 at 2,944. Now, when you step down to a 1080, there's not as much disparity between a 2080 and a 1080 in terms of CUDA core count. 1080 with 2,560 versus 2,944 and a 2080. But that Ti has a lot more CUDA cores.
Like, yeah, it's almost 1,000 more.
It is more than 1,000 more, right? Yeah.
You know, and no, it's more than 1,000 compared to the Quadro, but not next to the GeForce, because there's cores disabled in the 2080 Ti.
Well, 4,352 versus
3,584.
Yeah, right. Oh, right. Versus 1080 Ti. You're right. Yeah. Yep. Cool.
Yeah. But yeah, there's also huge memory bandwidth increase too. The GDDR6 on the cards, 14 gigabit per second effective data rate. You're talking 616 gigabytes a second on the 2080 Ti or something like that. It's north of 600 gigabytes a second versus something like 484 on a 1080 Ti. So you should have, not only do you have more shaders, they're more efficient shaders that are more capable. Plus you have way more bandwidth. Plus you have more cache.
Yeah.
Plus you have more advanced display technology, plus all the new stuff in the GPUs. Like, NVIDIA's really there's real innovation here. It's just the debate online has been kind of crazy because pricing is probably higher than some people want, but there's real innovation happening with these cards, and we'll see how it all plays out with developers and you know, and gamers, see how they're received in the marketplace when they finally hit.
Yeah, you know, and that's a good point. And then NVIDIA has caught a little bit of flack for the higher end pricing on these cards. But when you actually look at the physical differences between a 2080 Ti and its predecessor 1080 Ti, you have a significantly larger GPU, and silicon area is cost. When it comes to wafers, it's huge cost. When you're talking these bleeding edge 12 nanometer process wafers at TSMC or NVIDIA Fabs, it's GPUs. So it is huge cost. And GDDR6 is it just was shipping in volume and market earlier this year, right? I mean, it just started shipping. So there again, you've got a situation of lower economies of scale right now. You're just not shipping as much GDDR6 as you are in the world versus GDDR5. And so hopefully, with any luck, costs will, settle down as production ramps on all the components. But yeah, you're getting more hardware, a lot more hardware when you consider the tensor cores and the ray tracing cores for the money, right? Is that a fair? Yeah.
There's a lot of bleeding edge stuff happening here, and it costs money to develop this stuff. If what Jensen said is 100% accurate, that this has been in development for 10 years and they kept it a secret, then there was big bucks spent on this GPU technology. So, we all want everything cheaper and faster, but this is the entry point. This is the introduction of Turing. They're laying the foundation for, a huge software framework and new hardware technologies. And, it's not going to be cheap. This is bleeding edge stuff, man. There's lots of new innovation in this GPU.
Yeah, well, let's talk about that in 2 seconds. But just to answer Andre in the chat, 2070 picks. I just linked the chat real quick with our GeForce 20 series launch event coverage, which was out in Germany, Cologne, Germany. I attended it, actually, beautiful city, at NVIDIA at Gamescom this year, NVIDIA's event. And so you will see 2070 picks in there. However, we don't have 2070 cards today. Those aren't going to ship till sometime in October. And but the card is slightly shorter, I will say, smaller, slightly shorter than a 2080 in terms of PCB length. But still dual axial fans. They just made it a little bit more compact. It's actually a pretty cool looking card, very efficient. Back real quick to the innovation on board, and let's talk about two things that I find interesting, and we'll end up wrapping this up pretty quick. We won't stay on here for the full hour like we normally do, but you've got tensor cores on board and you've got ray tracing cores, RT cores. And certainly ray tracing has been sort of the holy grail, they call it, and to use a overused cliche, the holy grail of graphics, gaming graphics and graphics in general, to do real-time ray tracing, where you can render light as it reflects off of objects and reflections, as it bounces off objects and reflections as they reflect off other objects, how light, sort of injects itself into a scene naturally can be done much better with ray tracing in real time. And really what we're talking about here is the evolution or the introduction of ray tracing or hybrid ray tracing in standard rasterized game engines. So a mix of both, but again, that ray tracing producing much more realistic light, reproducing much more realistic light in scenes and just improving the realism. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out in next generation game engines. We've saw a few with Battlefield 5 and so on, Metro Exodus, I think, and Tomb Raider, of course, the new Tomb Raider game, all going to support it. It's going to look cool. We'll see how developers adopt it. What's interesting to me, though, what I found personally, even perhaps a little more interesting, is what NVIDIA did with the Tensor Cores in DLSS, or Deep Learning Super Sampling, which is a new method of anti-aliasing. Marco, you know a little bit about that. You want to just chat on that real quick? Because I found that cool.
Yeah, so just to boil it down simply, what NVIDIA is doing is they're going to work with game developers. They'll take the game assets. They're analyzed on one of NVIDIA's supercomputers. They're doing the deep learning inferencing and learning all the system is learning all it can about, the art assets. And they're basically taking, I believe it was a 64x super sampled version of the data, comparing it to a lower res upsampled version for DLSS and inferring the differences, and then a data set from what's learned after the assets have been analyzed is sort of embedded in the game. NVIDIA will have a switch in their driver for the games that support DLSS, and then we haven't tested. We have seen it live, so we've seen NVIDIA's demos. But what you ultimately end up with is a high-quality anti-aliasing technique with minimal impact on performance. So, that sort of happens every generation with different tech. But this is the first one that's leveraging AI and deep learning to pull it off. And the more game developers that are on board, the more art assets and the more imagery that NVIDIA's neural network can digest, theoretically, the better quality that we'll get later. So brand new tech. Again, we have to test it out before we may have any real solid opinions on it. But it's cool stuff. You know, we basically are going to could get a much higher quality anti-aliasing, even for moving objects, versus what we have now with a smaller hit in performance.
Yeah, I actually saw it live in Cologne, Germany at the launch event. And I can tell you, I had two monitors side by side, 27-inch panels running 4K. They were running Epic's Infiltrator demo with the Unreal Engine 4. And comparing a machine with TAA on and a 1080 Ti running with standard temporal anti-aliasing, frame rate was like 35 frames per second. Then next to it was the Turing card, a 2080 Ti running with DLSS enabled, no TAA, no standard anti-aliasing enabled. And I could tell you that I could not discern the difference. They looked really good. Both of them looked really good. And except for the Turing machine, the 2080 Ti, I love that. You know, it's funny, Turing machine, that's actually an old cryptology thing. But the 2080 Ti was running at like 80 frames per second. And sometimes it would peak up to like 80 frames per second, 70 to 80. So it was 2x the performance, and the image quality was as good. I couldn't tell the difference. I was looking hard. Some folks say they could see it, you know, just looking at the videos online. You can't. You got to see it in person. And I can tell you it looked great. What's interesting to me is how NVIDIA is implementing this, and you alluded to it, Marco. Yeah, they're going to feed the beast, so to speak, you know, the machine learning beast, one of their supercomputers, their DGX-1 supercomputers, game engines, you know, and they're going to do that for free for developers. Then they're going to develop these imagery databases or DNNs, distributed neural network models based on these game engines. And then they're going to what's going to happen is GeForce Experience is going to have the driver in. It'll detect what games you have that support DLSS, and it will download those models for you, those machine learned models for you, and, you know, optimize your game. And yeah, it actually compares the base image, you know, non-anti-aliased image to a 64X super sample, like you said, Marco. And 64XS, like, you don't do that and at real-time frame rates. It's just crushing. And so it can, in one of the modes, DLSX 2X, it can actually almost achieve full 64XS super sampling, anti-aliasing. So it's pretty good stuff. And the machine, you know, fills in the blanks and draws images the way it learns is the perfect image as it goes. So I'm kind of that to me was perhaps even more interesting than ray tracing. I mean, ray tracing is going to look beautiful, I suppose. I want to see what that all shakes out down the road, but DLSS could really improve image quality and keep frame rates, I think, impressively so. So yeah, good stuff. As you said, Marco, true innovation on board, not just bigger, faster, beefier chips, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And one thing to keep in mind, though, so there's also been some confusion about ray tracing general, because Microsoft has DXR, which is going to, you know, any DX12 GPU can do, well, any GPU can ray trace. Not every GPU can do hardware accelerated ray tracing with the type of technology NVIDIA is using. Now, how DXR works and how future GPUs from other companies handle Microsoft's workloads remains to be seen. So this is the beginning. NVIDIA obviously out in front right now, but again, we have to see how this all shakes out. For now, we have some really gorgeous graphics cards to test. Wow, that thing is heavy.
they're built really well. They look great. No question about it. They are definitely, I mean, it is definitely a cut above the previous generation Founders Edition and any Founders Edition before that, right? I mean, that card shows
I like the look of the real facetted look of the Pascal cards. But this is really good looking. There's a picture in our article of the backs of the cards where you sort of see it from this angle. Now, in the side of a windowed case, that looks really cool.
Yeah, like,
they look good from this angle, in my opinion, because most of the time that's what you see. You see the back and the side because it's a windowed case. The fans are facing down and they look awesome, in my opinion. That looks great. You know, there's rounded edges at both ends here. The G-Force logo is lighted. It's just, I don't know. I think it looks cool.
Yeah. And it's strapped on all sides with machined aluminum. So it's protected well. Yeah. It's just a really well-built, sturdy, physically strong card. So
reportedly quieter and cooler than previous gen stuff because it really, you know, the vapor chamber is twice as big, plus the heat sink. It's a really massive heat sink, dual fans now, so lots of big leaps in tech and then lots of incremental improvements too. So looking forward to testing it tonight tomorrow and Sunday.
we just got drivers today, and that's all we can say about that. We can now begin testing, and we can tell you at a later date how it sounds, you know how it performs acoustically, and certainly how it performs in games and lots of other stuff. Philip Girard says, do you think the RTX 2080 Ti brings the GPU rendering engine a big gain in computing, and that ray tracing will be much more realistic images to rendering engines? Cordially.
In terms of the rendering engine, now there's lots of stuff where Turing is going to be better. So in terms of just raw compute performance, you can calculate it the same way as previous gen architectures and get a teraflop number, but you also have to keep in mind that these can now do integer and floating point operations concurrently at the same time. So when software, now running some of the tests that we're going to run that aren't specifically optimized or, you know, designed to do that, it might not show that benefit, but NVIDIA is claiming up to 36% faster compute because you can have both workloads going in parallel. You can also have all three sets of cores technically running in parallel as well, though the dispatch processors can only feed two of them at once. So you can have the CUDA cores, the RT cores, and the tensor cores theoretically all working at the same time, you know, so you can measure the performance individually, but then you have to understand that it can all be running in parallel as well. So it's improvements all around, plus some new capabilities. And then your other question, will ray tracing bring much more realistic images to rendering engines? So yes, the other thing to keep in mind, what we're seeing now is hybrid rendering. This isn't full scene, true, you know, ray tracing of everything in a game. You're getting traditional rasterization for the bulk of it with ray tracing on maybe just not necessarily the most visible aspects, but maybe the most eye-catching things, the shadows, the lighting reflecting off the largest objects, shiny things that you want accurate reflections. So that kind of stuff is going to look much better. The demos that we've seen, in my opinion, the ray tracing looks much better than the traditional raster methods. Even though the traditional raster stuff, there's lots of tricks to make it look good. The ray tracing stuff, it just looks more natural and realistic and better. So yes, ray tracing is going to offer big improvements, whether it's strictly just NVIDIA's RTX framework versus other technologies like DXR remains to be seen. But I mean, NVIDIA is clearly at the forefront right now.
Yeah, and even beyond that, with respect to the standard engines, as you mentioned, Marco, you got dual issue integer and floating point now, which is, you know, an improvement for sure that game developers need to take advantage of for next generation games. They also improved the shader engines as well. And again, in our deep dive article, please hit that link. I'll drop it back in there again in the chat. Go educate yourself. Mesh shaders, these are much more flexible shading engines now that are available on Turing, to where you can do something called variable rate shading. And now when you look at the complexity of a scene, there's a good example there. Car in the middle of the scene in a racing simulation game. The car is something you want detailed and shaded, very, very high detail and shaded at a very high shader rate. And as you get to the periphery along the edge of the road, things that are moving by at speed, you need less shader. Shading going on, less shader throughput, if you will, to detail those scenes such that they look good to the human eye. So this is called, that's variable rate shading, when you can adjust that on the fly based on the scene versus in the case of that image right there that you're looking at, the blue 1x1 pixel grid right there. That's the way it's traditionally done today, where basically everything's shaded at the same rate in a 16x16 pixel grid area of the scene. Everything's shaded at the same rate, whatever is the developer says looks good. Here, now you can add more details to the stuff that's important in the scene, less detail to the stuff that the eye is not going to see for whatever reason. Maybe it's off in the periphery or off in the horizon, or it's moving by you quickly, and so it's blurring and you don't need to shade it as much. But that variable rate shading is another feature that's built into Turing now that NVIDIA says will improve both game fidelity and frame rates moving forward as well. So that's, you know, there's some good, you know, good innovation here in addition to just these new engines, Tensor cores and RT cores. Cool stuff. We learned a lot, man. We burned our brains out writing this article.
Writing these articles is when I realize how dumb I am.
Yeah, absolutely. I know it's a labor of love, because certainly we're into the tech, no question about it. But yeah, there are times when, you know, we get these deep dives, we're sitting there taking notes feverishly at the editor's days, and then we go to like pour it out of our heads and present it that's in a digestible sort of conversational, you know, mainstream conversational dialogue, and it's not easy sometimes.
You know, there's some of the guys at NVIDIA are just
brilliant. Yeah,
Tony Tomasi, if it's so good at speaking in plain English when he's talking really complex, that it's easy to write about that. I'm just taking notes casually when he's talking. And then it's like, wow, that's deep stuff. I'm lost when I have to research it for another hour when I get home.
my freaking tensor cores in my cranium are burning up.
Exactly.
Well, all right. Well, that kind of wraps us up, folks. I think we've covered it. Philip Gerard says, thanks for the reply. You are most welcome. And everybody, thanks for joining us in the chat. Marco and I will actually be grinding on these cards in the days ahead. Stay tuned to hothardware.com. Stay tuned to this channel as well. We'll have some video coverage, and we'll give you more in terms of Turing performance, GeForce RTX 2080, 2080 Ti in the days ahead. A little bit later for the 2070 series, excuse me. That hasn't quite shipped to us yet. Marco, any parting thoughts before we sign off?
No, thanks everybody for joining us. Some last quick looks. All right, there is NVIDIA's reference card here. I'll give you one last quick peek at the EVGA card, and then we'll say goodbye. That is the big boy EVGA for guys that may have joined later.
I bet you that overclocks nice. The size of that.
We will find out. This is what I'm actually going to use this for, the overclocking test, I think. I'll use the Founders Edition TI, and then I'll use this as the 2080 overclocker, and we'll see where they go. So that's the other, just quickly, NVIDIA makes that very easy now too, because they have an OC scanner that will basically maximize the overclock automatically. Just takes about 20 minutes to run, to kind of analyze the voltage frequency curve. I will do that in the article as well, so we can report how that works. Hopefully we cover everything and you guys come by and check it out.
Yeah. Swing on by hothardware.com, where you can find us on the web. Stay tuned to youtube.com/hothardware or Hot Hardware Vids, where hopefully you'll thumbs up and subscribe this if you liked it. Unboxing the GeForce RTX 20 series from NVIDIA on a Friday. Good stuff. Thanks for stopping by, everybody.